Hello, so this is Pastor David here in the study. Of course, right now everything is shut down with the whole coronavirus thing. And so the first of our online services, I was not able to record the sermon that went out over the live stream. So I'm doing that here in the study so that we will have the record of it on the sermons part of our webpage that people use and have asked me to make sure that this ends up there as well. This is the second week of a series on the disciplines, the Christian disciplines or the spiritual disciplines. And last week we did a kind of an overview of what a discipline is. And I offered the working definition of a discipline is a specific habit consciously formed and maintained, graciously provided by God, not for its own sake, but so that we would be changed. With that working definition for the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the disciplines of the Christian life. And today we're going to start with what I tend to think is the first and foremost, first in the sense of it's where everything begins, and first in the sense that it's probably the most important. As we go on in life, and that is Scripture. Wherever you find people fired up about Jesus, they have the words of Scripture, both from him and the words about him, on their lips and in their hearts. So we'll start by turning to Scripture to see what Scripture has to say about Scripture. In 2 Timothy, Paul is instructing his longtime right-hand man Timothy about how to continue God's work faithfully, since Paul knows that he will probably die soon. Among other instructions, Paul tells Timothy that he must stay squarely grounded in what he is already convinced of, and that he can do this by keeping the Scriptures front and center in his own life and in his teaching. So, this is 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now this passage, especially verse 16, where it says all Scripture is God-breathed, is usually brought up in support of our belief that Scripture is the actual Word of God, not just wise words or the record of people's experience with God. And 2 Timothy 3:16 really does mean that. It really does mean that Scripture, God has worked all through history and in the lives of the people who have written it to be sure that it is his actual word. That still means that there's lots of interpretation we have to do, the same way that we interpret conversations we have with people. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says other things as well. And one of the other things it says is what Scripture is for. It says teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. Now it's interesting that those are four different words, but they're all very close around one idea. All of those things kind of make this tight circle around the idea of changing us, right? Teaching, rebuking, correcting, or training, those all have some sort of change in mind. So what kind of change does Scripture aim to make in us? Well, Paul goes on to say, he says, that the people of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Scripture is given by God so that we would use it as a means of being changed into the likeness of Jesus, so that we can then be used by Jesus as he fulfills God's mission through us. Scripture is a gracious gift for those who desire change. And we respond to that gift by consciously forming and maintaining a habit, all the while seeking that God would meet us in that habit and change us. So how does this happen, right? How does Scripture change us? Well, I want to start by kind of taking a step back and just think about all the decisions that you make in the course of a day, okay? I believe that virtually all of our decisions make sense to us in the moment. We often see the decisions that other people make and think, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. But I'm convinced, you know, by having many conversations with people making decisions that don't make sense to me, that our decisions make sense to us in the moment. Okay? To say it another way, our responses to the world around us are shaped by the way that we see the world. Okay? If you see and feel your boss's correction to be a threat, you will react by defending yourself. If you see the person you run into, right? You see a person and you run into them and they want to stop and talk for a moment. And if you see that as a hindrance to your busy day, well, you're going to try to move on as quickly as possible and maybe even be glad to be rid of them. Now, as Christians, we then look at Jesus and we recognize that Jesus does things differently. Okay? We see his interactions with people, we see his interactions with the world around him, and we see him behaving very differently than we do. And then, because we're sincere about being Christians, we try to imitate him. But I think too often we try to imitate him without actually changing the way that we see things, right? So we end up trying to be kind and pleasant with the boss, although we still feel vulnerable and threatened. We try to be present for that person who wants to talk, but all the while, we still see them as an unwanted interruption of what we think we need to be doing. And what we don't stop to think about is that Jesus acted differently in these situations because he saw things differently. So, to respond like Jesus, we need to see the world the way that Jesus did. I can't help but think of Romans 12 too, right? A verse that we go to over and over and over again for so many reasons. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformation happens by renewing our mind, okay? Change in behavior will naturally flow out of a change in thinking. And without a change in thinking, changes in behavior are neither deep nor lasting. And that is what I believe we are after when we come to Scripture. I believe when we come to Scripture, we're after a change in our thinking that will make us see the world differently, and then we will naturally respond to the world differently. By soaking our minds in God's own thoughts. And I love to think of Scripture that way. It's God's thoughts. By soaking our minds in God's own thoughts, we allow our minds to be trained to look at things the way that God looks at them. Then, you don't see your boss as a near all-powerful tyrant who's somehow going to be the end of you. You see someone with a measure of authority, but completely under the authority of your Heavenly Father, who is always at work for your good in all circumstances. You don't see a random run-in with someone as an unwanted obstacle to productivity. You see a divine appointment, someone whom God has put in your way, has sent to you because they need to feel that God cares for them. And when you see the situation as God sees the situation, you're set up to respond as God would. With Scripture, God has provided us with a way of being trained to see life the way that he sees life, so that we would be equipped to join him in the work that he is doing. So if that's the way Scripture is supposed to work, we have to ask, is that the way we read the Bible? Unfortunately, some of us would have to be honest and answer, well, I don't read the Bible on a regular basis at all. And I think sometimes that's just because people have never been given a good reason to read the Bible regularly. Either they think the point of reading the Bible is to know the stories that are in there, and they say, well, I grew up in Sunday school, I know the stories. Or they've just always had this guilt trip laid on them that they need to read the Bible every day without anybody understanding why. Well, why? Why read the Bible every day if you already know the stories? Because you know that your thinking doesn't line up with God's thinking yet. And because you seek to be changed, you go to his thoughts and you stick with it, trusting God that over time he will continue to change you and change your way of thinking. But even among the many of us who really do read the Bible regularly, I think often the goal falls short of that process that we just laid out. I think that often our approach to the Bible, our reading, is what I would call therapeutic reading. A therapeutic approach to Scripture sees the Bible as a means to overcome acute symptoms of distress. Let me say that again. A therapeutic approach to Scripture is one that sees the Bible as a means to overcome acute symptoms of distress. What's that mean? Well, you have a need. You don't feel good. You're down. You're worried. You're anxious. You're upset. So you go to the Bible and you look for something that will help you to feel better. Now, don't get me wrong. That is a good thing to do when you are troubled. Okay? That's just where you should go. But if your entire relationship with Scripture is fundamentally therapeutic, if that's the only thing you go to the Bible for, then you fall into several traps. First of all, your time in Scripture will be sporadic. This week you have a problem, you run to the Bible. Next week, no worries, no Bible. Second of all, a therapeutic approach to the Bible focuses on us and what we want, not on God and his will. This kind of reading is an attempt to harness God's power for our goals, and it is not a means of presenting ourselves to God to be part of his goodwill. We don't recognize it often, but we fall into places where we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," but then our choices show that we're really pursuing our own desires, our own will. A therapeutic approach to the Bible is focused on what we are trying to achieve, not on what God is trying to achieve. Third, if our reading of the Bible is simply an attempt to relieve distress, then it's essentially an attempt to move backwards, right? Relieving distress is trying to get back to where we were before the problem arose. And so when we think about discipleship as being a desire to be changed, a therapeutic approach to the Bible is basically an attempt to stay the same, to remain who you were, to not be changed by the distress that's come into your life, but to remove it and go back. A therapeutic approach to Scripture is about preservation, not about transformation. We don't come to the Bible to try to preserve who we are. We come to the Bible to try to become, to be changed. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't get comfort and encouragement from the Bible. We all need comfort and encouragement sometimes. And a disciple who is being changed into the likeness of Jesus will, in fact, find riches of comfort and encouragement in Scripture as he or she is transformed by the renewing of the mind. But even as they find all that comfort and encouragement, the focus is still on being changed into the likeness of Jesus. Because a relationship with Scripture that only seeks to make you feel better will not lead to any lasting, genuine result. When we come to the Bible, we must be clear that we come as disciples, as people who are seeking to be changed. Now, I want to end with some practical advice, right? You may have noticed that I did not title the sermon Reading Scripture, but Thinking Scripture. The disciple who's actively seeking to be changed so that he or she may be used by God will find that merely reading Scripture does not do the job. We need to go beyond just reading it and setting the Bible back down. We seek to change the way we think, so we need to be sure that when we put the physical book down, the thoughts stay with us. We need to plan, explicitly plan, our discipline of Scripture so that there is the opportunity for rumination, right? Kind of a funny word. Basically, it means meditation or repeated thinking over something. And I personally really like the word rumination. I like the image of rumination. Cows, right? Cows, they chew grass and they swallow, but they're not done yet. Later on, they bring it back up and they chew it some more, right? And I'm not a cow guy, so I don't know how many times this process goes on, but I like to think that it keeps happening over and over again. And every time it happens, the cow gets more and more out of it. Likewise, our reading of Scripture has to be consciously structured so that the thoughts of Scripture come back over and over again through the day. And each time they come back, we reconsider what it is that it says in a different light, in a different context, in a different situation, in a different mood, applying it to different aspects of our lives that we might not have thought of just sitting in our easy chair early in the morning with the Bible. Each time Scripture comes back, we get more and more out of it. So, as we think about how we mix Scripture into our lives, I think there has to be conscious planning of how we ruminate over it. Now, there are lots of ways to do this. One particular way is an ancient way that's become popular again, and it's a kind of slow, focused, repetitive reading called Lectio Divina. And Lectio Divina, it's got this fancy Latin name, but it's basically just taking small bits of Scripture and reading them slowly and repeatedly in order to let them sink in, and then mixing the repeated reading with times of prayer or meditation. And like anything that becomes popular, a Google search will bring up a lot of really useless and silly stuff about Lectio Divina. But there are good books out there on how to practice Lectio Divina from an evangelical point of view. And if anybody wants to be in touch with me, I can kind of point you to a book or two. Another great way to move from just reading to actually thinking Scripture is to include journaling as a way of processing and responding to what you read in Scripture. Now, lots of people journal, and lots of people journal for different reasons, and depending on what your reason is, people journal in very, very different ways. So I'm going to speak specifically about journaling as a way to engage Scripture. And if your intention is to use journaling as a way to engage Scripture in order to be changed, then just make sure that you're journaling about what Scripture says, that you're journaling about what you read and how it touches your life, and then you're not just using the Scripture to be as a launch pad for your own kind of poetic thoughts. If you want to do that, that's great too. But if you're using journaling as a way to engage Scripture, just make sure that the journaling is actually engaging Scripture. Another very effective way to ruminate on Scripture is to memorize it. And most of you know, because I've talked about it, that I did this for many, 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 many years and found it a tremendous, tremendous blessing. God used it powerfully to change the way I think about so many things. And again, there are a lot of different ways to structure a Scripture memorization program. And some work for some people and don't work for others. And rather than kind of go through or tell you how I used to do it, my advice is if you want to try memorizing Scripture, Don't try to figure out ahead of time a whole program. Don't construct a whole system for yourself and then try to stick to it. Just start memorizing. Just grab a verse, memorize it. Tomorrow, grab another, and just stick with it for a couple of weeks. And as you get used to the habit, as you get into it, along the way, you'll figure out a system that works for you. Now, we could say a whole lot more, of course, about the importance of Scripture and the many ways there are to internalize it, but I want to leave you with a big, simple idea. If you, a disciple, want to be more like Jesus, then God has given you something that you can do, and He promises to use it to change you. That's the Bible. Go get your Bible. Get your mind in it. Get your nose in it. Get your eyes in it. And then make it a habit. It takes a little bit of discipline. It takes a choice. It takes some follow through. But stick with it. And allow God to train your thoughts to follow His. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you or hear you again soon. Thanks.